yesterday was a nice reminder, a humbling reminder, that while a lot of us think that we know a lot of things, myself included, we really don't know much about what goes on behind closed doors in Ashburn. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Dent Day sitting in for Kevin here on a Thursday. Booger McFarland, ESPN, is going to be with us in about 15 minutes. Get his thoughts on the Commanders, plus a little bit of college football coming up this weekend as well that we will get his thoughts on. I was listening to both press conferences that took place yesterday. You had Dan Quinn and Adam Peters, and then Terry McLaurin after practice. You will hear a significant amount of both of those throughout the course of today's show. Dan Quinn will speak at noon. You'll hear that as well. But I was listening to these press conferences. There was a whole lot that was going on that we had no knowledge of. It felt like now more than ever through this entire process, especially towards the end of the process, we were starting to get more and more information that felt like we kind of understood the direction that the sides were going. And look, I knew ultimately a deal was going to get done in some way, shape, or form. I think most of you probably felt the same way. A deal with Terry and the Commanders was going to get done in some way, shape, or form. But it really felt like that Adam Peters was in control of this entire thing, Max. And as much as we kind of ragged on Terry's agent, Buddy Baker, maybe he was not out of his depth as much as we thought he was out of his depth. This is just the process that seems to take place when you are negotiating a big contract with a big-time player. Now, maybe there was some lying yesterday. In fact, I would go so far as to say there was definitely a little bit of stretching of the truth in some capacity, particularly with something Terry said about his ankle, which you will hear. That might have been one of my favorite moments at the press conference.
I laughed out loud when Ben asked that question.
I mean, shout out to Ben Standing. It was a great question. You know what? Why, I'm not going to bury the lead. I'm going to be a great journalist here, Max. People call me a journalist. I'm not a journalist, but I'm going to be a great journalist here. Ben asked Terry McLaurin about his ankle situation as Terry is in his ramp up to get ready for the season. Listen to what Terry said about the ankle injury that has been keeping him on the physically unable to perform list for this entire offseason.
I'll just keep that between me and the front office and the training staff. But I will say, like, they did a great job of taking care of me, making sure I was right, you know, being back on this field with this ramp up process. And, you know, I'm just going to continue to build from there, and just happy to be back on the grass. So it was a great ramp up process for me to be back out here. I feel great when I'm running out there. And so the strength staff, the training staff, and, you know, DQ and everybody was supportive of me and allowed me to get back, you know, to this level where I'm able to hit the ground running. That's what it's all about.
There's a great order that he put these things in.
I mean, look, man, I've never had an $87 million Band-Aid, but I bet there's not a lot of injuries that I could sustain where that wouldn't heal me. Yeah. So I get where he's coming from, man. Most of the Band-Aids that I buy are like $4, and you get 20 for $4. Or now in this economy, it's like $7, and you get 20 or 50. An $87 million Band-Aid that could potentially be worth $96 million over the course of 3 years would definitely make that ankle feeling real good. The ligaments would be great. They'd be loose. They'd
best
be able to flex.
Felt.
I'd be able to run really fast. I promise you that. I like that he was at least, he didn't hide it. He tried to like kind of step it, dodge it. He should have just said he rolled it doing something. You know, the thing in this entire process that I think Terry really could have taken a little bit more advantage of, he was actually here at one point. You know, during the offseason, I know he skipped the mandatory stuff and he skipped some of the non-mandatory stuff, but only some of the non-mandatory stuff. Like, there very much was a part, and the team posted a picture of it all the way back in, like, I don't know if it was March or April or something, but he was catching passes from Jane Daniels. I remember there was this big smile on his face. I think he had like a bucket hat on or something. So like, he very much was here. I would have leaned a little bit more into that to be like, you know, I was just aggravated at doing some stuff. You know, hey, one of the reasons I wasn't here for the mandatory stuff was because I actually, you know, did have the ankle situation. Like, I would have really pressed hard instead of the, I'm going to keep that between me and the front office. As in, like, no, you were actually on the physically unable to perform list. They did say that you had some sort of injury. So I think Terry should have done just a little bit of a better job there. He was honest, though. You know, in most other cases, and He did mention something about the trade request, which was unprompted. You know, he got asked a lot of questions. Nobody specifically asked him about the trade request, but he did mention the trade request. So this is Terry. He was asked about something different, and then it led to him speaking of the trade request and kind of how that came to be and how it was real.
I think it's clip six. I'm not 100%
sure.
Yeah,
I think it's clip six. So give me clip six.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, when you get to a point where you're here for a little over, I kind of lost track of the days, but you're here for a little while and you're not out on the practice field, and you know, things may not progress what you would like for them to progress. And again, like, I don't think there's everybody's situation is unique and different. So I never tried to look at this person's situation as like, this is how I handle it. I just tried to stay true to myself, but also have the open conversations that were afforded to me, both with my agent buddy. Buddy was having great conversations with Adam. You know, Adam had gave me the opportunity to have multiple conversations with him. DQ as well. So it was just a matter of getting on the same page. I appreciate them hearing me out and being able to express what my worth is and what I bring to this to the table, on the field and off the field as a teammate and all those things. And you know, in the end, they feel the exact same way. And so to be in a position where you feel like you can advocate for yourself, you know, be educated throughout this process, was something that I took day by day to try to help get to this result. So there was definitely some unknowns. Obviously, you know, the trade request was, you know, something that I did. And, you know, full transparency, I told the front office this as well. Like, that wasn't something that I was doing for just like a leverage point or just to do it or let me call some hoopla. Like, I try to be as intentional as possible. Am I perfect? No, I'm not. Are there some things that, you know, you think about that you maybe want to handle different or do better? Sure, that's any situation. But the most important part is the communication that was very important throughout this process from start to finish. You know, the way it ended was better than it started. So that's what it's all about. And there's a deal in place now that keeps me here that I'm extremely happy about. You know, the front office and the coaching staff is extremely happy about. My teammates are happy about. This fan base is happy about. So that's a win-win when you look at a deal, to be honest. So everybody wins, in my opinion. And, you know, I'm just really looking forward to building continue to build my career here and hopefully leave a lasting legacy as a player, but as a teammate, as a person, and have a chance to win championships and just continue to pour into this community and this fan base, because I do love this place with all my heart. But there's also a business component, and I can never lose sight of that. There was a lot of things that also allowed me to keep perspective. And like I said, my teammates were great with that. My wife, my family, my friends. So you got to try to keep perspective in some of these tough situations. And so, yeah, there were some times where I was like, I don't know. You know what I mean? But I was never going to jump to one end, one extreme to the other. You know, it wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna be here or I'm not. You know, like, I just really prayed every single day that the Lord ordained my steps and continue to speak to me, and I knew I would end up where I was supposed to be. So I'm definitely here and I'm happy about it.
That was the only time in the entire press availability that the trade request was mentioned, and it was Terry mentioning it himself. And he kind of said, like, hey, that was real. That was not just a leverage point like a majority of us thought it was. I still kind of do think it was a leverage point. I don't think that Terry ever believed he was going to get traded. I don't think his agent ever believed that he was going to get traded. And I don't believe that Adam Peters had any intention of ever trading or shopping Terry in any capacity. But he said that very much was real. But that was the only time it was referred to at all during that press availability. His answers are very, very long, as you heard. I mean, that was like a 3-minute answer. So he was very open and transparent with a lot of these things. The general focus, though, Max, was that Terry very much wants to be here. And the general focus from listening to Adam Peters is that they very much wanted Terry to be here. There are not a lot of players on the Commanders football team, Redskins, over the past 20 years that have ever gotten a third contract here. And when I say a third contract, I mean like a real legitimate third contract. There have been some guys, you know, I think Tress Way is on contract number 4, but with all due respect to Tress, he's fantastic at what he does. It's very different negotiating with a punter than it is negotiating with a wide receiver number 1 or someone that is that in the top 10 at their particular position in any capacity, right? Trez has been there certainly for a number of years, but it's just a very different process to negotiate with a guy like Terry versus a guy like Trez. There just have not been a lot of third contracts. Like even Ryan Kerrigan, who was here for what felt like an eternity, he never got a third contract here. He played the rookie deal out, which was about 4 years, and then he signed a five-year extension that took him to 2020, and then he did that weird little bit where he played for the Eagles for a season. Remember that? We don't talk about that one a lot. But Ryan Kerrigan, who felt like he was here for forever, never got a third contract here. You know, Trent Williams, I need to look this up to see what Trent's actual extension points were here in Washington, because it feels like with Trent in San Francisco, he's gotten 1,000 contracts just because they constantly repay him, it feels like, every single other year. But if you look at Trent in Washington, you know, he didn't sign a third contract. He played that rookie deal. He played that rookie extension, which, again, was a five-year contract. He never got a third contract here. So Terry is the first guy that is really at the top of his position, in a position that is incredibly pertinent with some of these deals, that has gotten a third contract. And that's largely, it felt like when, this is like a little bit of a history here, it felt like when Michael Thomas in New Orleans signed that massive contract all those years ago, NFL teams across the board, because I think Michael Thomas signed like a five-year, six-year extension when he had just had that crazy season in New Orleans. When that extension was signed, a majority of teams across the NFL and a majority of players were like, we're not going to jump into five-year deals when we can get three-year deals and then re-up. And Terry was a very, obviously, he's kind of like the poster child for that here. He signed a three-year deal in the Ron Rivera era, understanding that eventually he'd be able to get to re-up. And he kind of played it perfectly. Like, this is a really good deal for Terry. Did he get the $35 million that he allegedly was asking for at the beginning? No, but he got everything that he wanted, or at least everything he said that he wanted. It's just a very unique position to be in, because third contracts in the NFL really are not as frequent as it sometimes seems, especially here. I just found that to be really, really interesting, and I'm curious as to how that might have impacted the process. And what I need to do, Max, is kind of look back at the 49ers and see how many third contracts that they negotiated and some of the other places that Adam Peters stopped in. There's just not a lot of big third contracts that are being negotiated across the NFL. But the simple fact is, Terry is here, and he is here for a very, very long time. In about an hour, I'm going to tell you exactly how much money he could be making in the year 2025. It'll actually blow your mind. But coming up next, we're going to ESPN. Booger McFarland of ESPN, he's going to jump on with us, get his thoughts on the Commanders and a little bit of college football. Week one starts today in the world of college football. Booger McFarland next. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dent Day sitting in.